ladies, we're going to Matthew 26 this evening, Matthew 26 and verses 6 through 13. Actually, we'll just read verse number 6 through 11. That'll be good enough, and then we'll get the last two in toward the end of the message. All right, verses 6 through 11 in Matthew 26. And when we pray and read, we read and pray, then we'll have a special and jump into this. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. And would you please read the odd-numbered verses with me down through verse 11. Sixth verse, 26th chapter, Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." Thank you, dear Father, for the good service we've enjoyed so far. Thank you for the wonderful music and the blessing of the story behind that great song. God, what a miracle, taking those two people and two different circumstances and yet writing a beautiful song like that, words and music. God, thank you for your goodness. Help us tonight to be hungry for your word, to have an appetite for truth. And would you please give us the supply that we need in the message? And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Your holy word.
and a good song. Appreciate it very, very much. All right, I want you to look at verse number 8. I teach a lecture in homiletics every year to the men at the college on the subject of seed thoughts. One of the things that just is on a preacher all the time, especially a pastor who's in the same pulpit week after week, is just sermons. Tonight ends, and tomorrow morning, I'll be probably thinking in my heart about next Sunday. You just have to. They're here before you know it, and these messages. So you're looking for seed thoughts, and I teach them that seed thoughts come in different ways. A seed thought is a thought, and it might have a topic, or it might become a topic and a theme for a message. And so they come from different ways. And one of the ways that seed thoughts come to a preacher is in casual conversation with other people. And the message that you'll hear tonight is the result of a conversation that it was kind of a three-way conversation, and the comment really wasn't made to me. It was directed to somebody else, but I thought, So I put it on my three by five cards. I tell these guys, and I thank God for Brother Vineyard, who drilled it in our heads, that you need a 3x5 card and a pen in your pocket all the time. And he's right. And I pulled out a 3x5 card when I walked away and pulled out my pen and jotted the seed thought down. And so tonight's message is a result of that. I want to speak on the subject. Judas asked the question, to what purpose is this waste? And I want to speak on the subject, just keep wasting away. Just keep wasting away. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Thank you so much for the good music. And I pray that you'll bless me to be a blessing and a help to the church this evening. Very carefully, we only see what we are looking for. We only see what we are looking for. This is not staged. This is impromptu. This is from the hip. It may or may not work. Brother Jason, you got a watch on, sir. Come on, bring your watch up here. Can I have it just for a moment, all right? And how long have you had this watch, Brother Jason?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. What color is the face on the watch? It's black, okay. And what color are the things by which you tell time? The hands. What color are they? All right, this is flopping, okay. Are they Roman numerals? Are they numbers? What are they? They're Roman numerals. Very good. You're doing too good. Here we go. All right, forget it. It flopped. Amen. So. Where were we? Mike, we were at the Kiwanis Club luncheon, and Tareth was the recipient this year of that award, and I believe Brianna Reardon has been there. Brianna, you were there, and who was there? Megan, you were there last year, and Tareth was there this year. And so but a Kiwanis member sits at the table with you and your school and the recipient of the award. And so the Kiwanis guy used to own the radio station in town, and he said, and I forget what we were talking about, and he said, you know, we really only see what we are looking for. Now, this message didn't come from this conversation, but it fits in. And I said, I believe that's true. He said, I know it's true. He said, let me see your watch. And so I gave him my watch. And I got every question wrong. He said, what color is the face on your watch? I said, well, it's black. And it's not. It's light. And he said, what's on there beside the hands? And I said, I don't know. And he said, he asked me four or five, I think maybe seven questions about my watch. I got one right. One. He said, how long have you had this watch? I said, 10 years. He said, you've been looking at this watch for 10 years. He said, you didn't know anything about your watch. But let me ask you a question. He said, does it tell the time? Are you satisfied with it? I said, yeah. He said, well, that's what you're looking for when you look at a watch. You're looking for the time, and that's what you see. Didn't work with Brother Jason tonight, but anyway, he knows his watch better than I do. But that is the honest truth. We only see what we are looking for. Now, this story illustrates that truth, all right? Jesus is in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. From John chapter 12, which is a comparison scripture, companion scripture to this one, we know that others were with him there. We know that Lazarus was there sitting at the table with Jesus. We know that Martha was there serving food. We know that Mary was there, and then she was not there, and then she was there again. And when she came the second time, she came with a box of a very costly and expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head and his feet. Don't be bothered by the fact that Matthew says she poured it on his head, and John says she poured it on his feet. Don't be bothered by that. Matthew was written to portray Jesus as the King of the Jews. And when the kings were anointed with oil, they were anointed where? On their heads. John was written to portray Jesus as the Son of God that came to this earth to die on the cross and save those who would believe. Where does a penitent, repentant sinner go to receive salvation? To the feet of Jesus Christ. There are no contradictions in the Word of God, friend. Quit trying to find them and just believe it, okay? So Matthew says head, John says feet, obviously, and portraying Jesus as they did, they included those two ways. So he was anointed by, she poured it on his head and his feet. All or some of his disciples were there. Judas was there for sure. He's Simon's son. Talking about Judas Iscariot now, the betrayer of Christ. And when Mary anointed Jesus' head and feet with this oil, immediately he said, "To what purpose is this waste?" You see, this ointment was valuable. It was worth a lot of money. It could have been sold for much, Judas said, and given to the poor. That's what he said. Now, we only see what we are looking for. Judas was looking at the whole scene from one perspective, and that's what he saw. And I'll give you a couple of thoughts tonight, just right at the beginning here, and then to jump into this. We have to be careful how we see things, number one. And number two, we have to ignore those who only see what they want to see. That's what we have to do. Now, Judas said that this was a waste. In fact, he said it, the Bible says, with indignation. He didn't just make the comment. He was indignant. It was almost like, how in the world could someone take something so costly and waste it by dumping it on somebody's head and on somebody's feet? So much more could have been done with this than what this woman did with it. What a waste. He said it with indignation, what the Bible says. So I want to make three observations tonight about this matter in this story. Number one, I want to talk about what Judas saw. What he saw. Look at verse number 9. You can see what he saw. He says, this ointment might have been sold for much. You know what Judas saw, folks? Judas saw the investment. He saw the cost. He saw the price. He saw the expense. That's what Judas saw. That's all he was looking for. The value, the worth of the oil. And in his mind, the return on the investment was poor. You see, the ointment was poured out on a man's head and feet. The return on the investment was not what Judas thought it ought to be. In fact, he said the investment was wasted. That's what Judas saw. He saw the investment being wasted. I think there are some people who see our Christian lives like that. You hear things like, why do you waste your time going to church three times a week? Why do you waste your money on Christian education for your children? Why do you waste your time at the prison working with men who have been incarcerated? Why do you waste an hour at the nursing home with people who in some cases don't even know you are there? Why do you waste your money in gas to go survey people on religion in America? Why do you waste your time listening to kids say Bible verses? Why do you waste your time with kids who only ride the bus for what you give them? Why do you waste your life in holiness and dedication to the Lord and not doing several things that everybody does? And why do you waste your kids' life taking them to church and keeping things from them? And why do you waste your career teaching in a Christian school? And I could go on and on and on. On and on and on. Why do you waste? Why do you waste? Why do you waste? I'll give you a couple thoughts on this, folks. People who say things like that or similar to that are really revealing a fundamental flaw in themselves. Now think just a minute. Why do you waste your time? Why do you waste your money? Why do you waste your life? Why do you waste your children? See, folks that talk like that have failed to learn or recognize or acknowledge the reality of stewardship. It's not our time. and it's not our money, and it's not our children, and it's not our life. It all belongs to Him. All belong. Now, because of that, because it belongs to God, we certainly don't want to waste any of those things. But there will always be people like Judas who only see what they are looking for. To them, it's all about investment and return. It's only about the bottom line. It's only about a profit and loss sheet. It's only about the cost, the time, the expense, the work. I overheard somebody discourage a person who was trying to do something for the Lord and make a discouraging comment that would really boil down to investment and return. You're not getting the return out of that for the investment you're putting into that. Now look, you can't let people like that discourage you. You can't let people like that discourage you. And I don't think it discouraged Mary. I don't think it discouraged her at all. That's all Judas saw. He saw the bottom line. He saw the cost. He saw the value. He saw the worth. He saw that expensive ointment. And to him, it was all about investment and return. And Judas said, the return on this investment was not worth it. It's been wasted. Didn't bother Mary. Didn't bother Mary, number two, because what Judas could have seen, but didn't. What Judas could have seen, but didn't, Jesus saw in verse number 10. He came right to her defense and He said, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work, watch it now, upon me. You see, Judas could have seen the real picture here. Here was Lazarus, alive and eating a meal with his Savior. A few days earlier, he was dead in a tomb. He had been in that tomb for 4 days. He was dead. And when Jesus said, roll the stone away, his sister spoke up and said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. By this time, he's stinking. But Jesus raised him from the dead. And now his sister Mary, overwhelmed with appreciation and overwhelmed with love and overwhelmed with thankfulness and overwhelmed with gratitude, came and poured the ointment on Jesus' head and feet. You know what was here, folks? This was love. This was appreciation. This was appreciation and gratitude. This was sacrifice and this was identification. And even bigger than that, Mary had heard Jesus speak of His coming death, burial, and resurrection. And she poured that ointment out on Him in light of what He was going to do. And that's what Jesus said. She hath done this against the day of my burying. This was no waste. It was sincere. It was genuine. It was compassionate. It was motivated by appreciation and love. And it was for Jesus in light of His coming death, burial, and resurrection. Now, that's what many people could see, but don't see. And as a result, they are convinced that you and I are wasting time, money, and even our life in service to Christ. And I want to say to those of you who have family and friends and co-workers and relatives and neighbors who think you are wasting your life, your motives for doing what you do cannot be discerned by others. They can't be. You can't take those people seriously. You know, many of you, the majority of you, serve with time, and you serve with time, and you serve with money, and you serve with effort because you love Jesus Christ. You appreciate what Jesus has done for you. Many of you live like you do because you love Jesus. And you rear your kids like you do because you love Jesus. And people feel sorry for your children because you rear them in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. They don't see the motives. They don't understand the love. They don't understand the devotion. Mary did what she did because of what Jesus was about to do. He was about to go to the cross. We do what we do because of what Jesus did a couple thousand years ago. And yes, that's a long time ago, but what He did then is a blessing to us now. I enjoy my salvation today. I'm talking about this day. I'm talking about this morning. Tonight, I have enjoyed the music. I have enjoyed the Bible. I've enjoyed the fellowship. I've enjoyed the friends. I've enjoyed the will of God. I've enjoyed the lives touched, like the new lady who wanted to see me after the service this morning, so anxious that her heart stay right with God. And as they sang tonight, close to God, and wanted to talk about how could she stay even closer to God, and to see people who 6 months ago, 3 months ago, weren't even in church, hungering to to know God and love God and walk with God. I've enjoyed salvation today. I know what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but it's been good for me today. Once in a while, there's someone who sees the big picture of what you're doing. I think about David. Remember that time he was thirsty? Remember that time he was thirsty? And they were in that battle, and he thought out loud, and he said, "Boy, if I could just have a drink of the water that's in that well down in Bethlehem there, my. And those three guys heard the king say that, and they hazarded their lives, and they crossed behind enemy lines and went through there, and they went to that well, and they got a flask full of water, and they brought that back to David. You remember that? David didn't say, "Oh, man, thank you." He realized that for what it was. He saw it for what it was really worth. And he opened the cap on that flask and he poured it out on the ground. Now, the bottom line Judases who only see the investment and return would have called what they did horribly wasteful. They would have said, "Good night. Look at what happened as a result of you putting your lives in jeopardy. The man poured that water out. Your investment of time and courage and bravery was wasted." But David did not see it as wasted. He saw it as wonderfully precious. So precious that he would not drink it. And poured it out. Said, "This is a wonderful thing, what these men have done." You know, I was up in Canada preaching. I told you about that picture, about preaching to those Vietnam, the children of that. Remember that? I told you that. It was the last Sunday night, the picture of the Vietnam War. And that famous picture of that lady that was running with no clothes on, a little brother beside of her. And I preached to their children up in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. Preached with Cecil Ballard. Canada didn't know what would hit him when Cecil Ballard showed up there. And my goodness, he had those kids. I'm telling you, he could take a toothpick, entertain people for 20 minutes, I'll tell you. It's amazing. And we had a great time up there. But there was a fellow up there who was helping with the skits. He was part of the church up there. And some guys, you just could tell, my goodness, that's the cream of the crop. And this guy was on staff. And so Brother Ballard and Brother Pendle and I, Brother Brett Pendle and I were out for something to eat after the services. I said, who's that young man that was helping you with the skits? He said, he's one of the teachers in our school. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, man, what a guy. He said he graduated, and I forget which province he was from. I think he was from the Maritime, which would be the islands, right? The Maritime out there, out the east. And he said he graduated from a school out there with a degree in engineering. He had four job offers when he got out of school. But he just felt like the Lord wanted him to use his mind and his talents and his abilities for God. So he went down to Faithway Baptist College in Ajax, Ontario, Canada. And he got a master's in education degree. And he said he's come to our school and he feels like that one of the things that Christian schools don't have in some cases is the people who are able to teach the higher maths and the higher sciences. And he can do that because he's got a great mind, these degrees in engineering, and he's giving his life to teaching this Christian school so our kids can have higher level math and have a higher level science. He said, now he has to work part-time as a janitor too. He cleans part of our buildings. But he just feels like with his mind and his knowledge, God's given him a gift that he can use in an area for Christian education that a lot of Christians don't have. Now, you know, the world and the bottom line profit-loss people would look at somebody like that and say, "You're wasting. You're wasting your life. You're wasting those years of education. You're wasting all the late nights and the studying and all the exams and the finals. You're wasting all of that to work a job in a Christian school that doesn't pay you enough that you have to work as a janitor." But I want to tell you something, man. From the look on that boy's face, from his countenance, from his interaction with those teenagers, he didn't feel like he was wasting his life. He felt like God was using him in a great way. And I want to tell you something, friend. His assistant pastor, Brother Pendle, and his dad, Brother Pendle's dad, Leroy Pendle, they understand, they realize what they have in that man right there, that he's not wasting his life. And I want to tell you something else. I'll tell you who knows why you live like you do. and do what you do. I'll tell you somebody that never misses it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He never misses it. He never misses a lick. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So I say tonight, serve on, church, and honor on, and sacrifice on, and love on, and preach, and sing, and teach, and change diapers, and clean, and shake hands, and make meals, and work on projects, and read, and pray, and love your wife, and obey your husband, and rear your kids, and teach your kids, and press on. They don't understand. It's a waste to them. They don't get it. But all He understands. It's not a waste. Not a waste. Not a waste. Somebody sees more than the bottom line. Somebody sees why you are doing it. Somebody sees the motive. Somebody sees the gratitude and the appreciation and the love. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And once in a while, somebody here on earth does as well. Number one, what Judas saw. Number two, what Judas could have seen but didn't. And number three, I like this one. We can only control the investment. The Lord controls the return. We can only control the investment. That's all we can do. You see, Mary controlled the ointment. She controlled the investment. It was hers. So she used it. And I just maybe someday when we get to heaven, we can ask Mary, "Mary, when you took that ointment and you broke it and you poured it on the head and the feet of Jesus Christ and anointed His body for His burial, did you have any idea what Jesus would say? Did you have any idea that Jesus would say, 'Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her.'" Mary, did you ever have any idea when you dumped that ointment on His head and feet that Jesus would make mention that that story, your story, would be mentioned for years? And I'll promise you folks, there have been more messages preached about Mary dumping this oil on Jesus' head and feet than there have on the person of Judas Iscariot. I think this is probably my third or fourth message out of this passage of Scripture in these 20-something years, 21 years soon of pastoring here. I can't remember a whole sermon on Judas. I think I heard one sermon in my whole life on Judas. One. Since I've been saved. But I have been to places and I have heard over and over and over again about this woman who controlled this investment and put it upon Jesus Christ. You see, all we can do is control the investment. It's Jesus who controls the return. And Jesus said this. He said, "If you give a cup of cold water in His name, you will not lose your reward." So serve and sacrifice and love and give and honor and dedicate and press on for Jesus Christ. You will not lose your reward. Once in a while, we'll be privileged to know about the return on this side of glory. Once in a while. Not often, but once in a while. I told this story before. It's so amazing that before I use it again tonight, I went to the resources and tried to just double check and make sure that it's a true story because it is so amazing. And I found more references to it this time than I found before. Several years ago in a Baptist church in southern London, a pastor was closing out the morning service. The man that was visiting the church for the first time on that day, sitting there at the back, raised his hand and said, "Pastor, could I give a testimony?" And the pastor said to him, said, "Sir," he said, "I'll give you 3 minutes. Keep it short." And the man stood up and he said, I just moved to this part of London. I've lived in another part of the city." And he said, "I'm originally from Sydney, Australia." And he said, "I was down on Sydney. There's a street down in Sydney, Australia called George Street." And said, "That's the main thoroughfare through Sydney there, and all the shopping and businesses and so forth." And he said, "I was down on George Street in Sydney." He said, "A strange little white-haired man stepped out of a doorway when I was walking down the sidewalk and put a pamphlet in my hand. And it said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you died tonight, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?'" He said, nobody had ever asked me that question before. He said, I took that little pamphlet and I got on the airplane to go back to come to Heathrow. And he said he was down visiting his relatives in Sydney and on George Street. So I got into London to go back to Heathrow in London. And he said, all the way back, that question stuck in my mind, just like you were talking about earlier tonight. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Excuse me, sir, are you saved? He said, when I landed, the first thing I did when I got home was call a friend of mine who I know goes to church. And I went to that friend's house, and that friend won me to Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. I just want to praise him this morning. And the pastor and all the people rejoiced at the man's testimony. A few weeks later, that pastor flew to Adelaide, Australia. And he was holding a meeting there. And there was a woman in the church who asked if she could counsel with him. And so they set up a counseling appointment, and he went to see the man. And the pastor said wanted to find out how the woman's standing was with Jesus Christ. And he said, are you saved? And she said, yes, I'm saved. He said, how did you come to Christ? And she said, I used to live in Sydney, Australia. And she said, I was down on George Street doing some shopping one day. Said an elderly white-haired man, kind of a frail-looking fella, stepped out of a doorway and stuck a pamphlet in my hand and said, excuse me, ma'am, are you saved? Do you know if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven? She said, it so bothered me. That question bothered me. She said, I got back to Sydney, and she said, I knew this church was here, and just a block or two from my house. And she said, I called the pastor of this church and made an appointment, and I came, and the pastor of this church led me to Christ. I've been in this church since. The pastor thought, that's interesting. He flew from Adelaide to Perth, Australia, where Mike Rigney was a missionary for a number of years ago. And one of the senior pastors in the church took him out for a meal after the service. And as they sat down, after they ordered their food, this pastor said to the senior pastor, he said, tell me, how did you come to know Christ? And the man said, you know what? I grew up in this church when a little boy. I professed to be saved all those years. He said, I became a very successful businessman, had a lot of business ventures and made a lot of money. He said, I was in Sydney, Australia. He said, I was down on George Street shopping, buying some things for my wife and my kids. This little white-haired, frail-looking man stepped out of a doorway, stuck a pamphlet in my hand and said, excuse me, sir, you say. Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? And he said, it made me mad. Burnt me up. He said, I flew back to my home and he said, I flew back here to Perth. And he said, I went to see my pastor, the pastor of this church that I grew up in. I told him, I said, pastor, the guy asked me this question. It made me mad. And the pastor said, well, are you saved? He said, I thought about it. And I said, no. And he said, I got saved. And I got out of business and came into the ministry. And I've been on staff here at this church now for a number of years. The pastor is just dumbfounded. Some months later, he was in Atlanta, Georgia. Went to a naval chaplain's convention. The chaplain general took him out to eat. He said, hey, bud, can you tell me how you came to know Christ? He said, I was in the United States Navy. I was lost, a drunken sailor. He said, we came to Sydney Harbor. There's some exercises in the South Pacific. He said, man, we hit the town with a vengeance, went to King's Crossings. He said, I got stone cold drunk. He said, I got on the wrong bus. I stepped off the bus on George Street. He said, I was walking down George Street. He said, this frail little white-haired man stepped out of this doorway. Had to be a pamphlet. He said, excuse me, son, are you saved? Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he said, I was drunk. He said, but that question so shocked me, I was sober immediately. He said, I had no idea, and I went right back to the ship, and I found the chaplain on the ship. And I asked the chaplain, what do I know about this? The chaplain led me to Jesus Christ, and I've been saved now these number of years. Now I'm a chaplain of the Navy myself. 6 months later, that pastor from southern London flew to India to a convention for missionaries in India. There he met a missionary, a national, a former Hindu, who was serving the Lord. And he had him to his house for a meal. And he said to this former Hindu, he said, how did you, being a former Hindu, how did you come to Christ? He said, I used to be in government work. And I was on government work in Sydney, Australia. And I was down on George Street buying some things for my family. Said a frail-looking white-haired man stepped out of a doorway, put a pamphlet in my hand and said, sir, are you saved? Do you know for sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? He said, I got back to this part of my home and I looked up a missionary here near here, and I asked him about that. He led me to Christ, and I resigned my government work, and I have been a missionary now for these years. 8 months later, that Baptist preacher in southern London had an opportunity to be in Sydney. And he told the pastor he's preaching for, he said, "I want to go down to George Street." He said, "What do you want to go down to George Street for?" He said, "To buy some things." He said, "No." He said, there's a fella, white-haired man who must pass out tracts down there." And the pastor said, "Oh, Frank Jenner. I know Frank." He said, "You know where he lives?" And he said, "Sure." 2 nights later, they knocked on his door. They went and sat down. That pastor shook his hand. He said, "Mr. Jenner," he said, "I want to tell you why I'm here." They told him all those stories. He said, What does it mean? He said, "Mr. Jenner said, I was in the Australian Navy. I was a drunken fool." He said, "I came to know Christ as my Savior through a set of circumstances and events. After I got saved, I was so in love with Jesus. I told the Lord I'd try to talk to 10 people a day about Christ." He said, "I haven't always kept my promise. I haven't always been able to. If I missed one day, I tried to make it up later." He said, "I've not kept it up very well." He said, "But these later years, I've tried just to come down George Street and just hand out tracts." He said, "I can do that. I'm old now." And the old man's lip began to quiver, and he said, "I've been doing this for years and years and years, passing out tracts on George Street, even when I was able to witness." I think he said 40 years. And he said, "This is the first time in 40 years I've ever heard of anybody getting saved from one of those tracts that I passed out 40 years. I think I'll just keep wasting away. I think I'll just keep wasting away. While the world and even sometimes my own Christian brethren don't understand why we do what we do and look at it as a waste, Jesus sees it for what it is. He never misses it. And when it's done, out of love and appreciation and gratitude, our Savior, He never misses that. I think I'll just keep wasting away." Heavenly Father, bless us, I pray. Help us take these little lessons from this little story tonight that You preserved, recorded, and preserved for us in Your Word. Help us not to be discouraged when even, Lord, maybe a naive brother casts doubt of what we're doing. Maybe they don't really see the big picture. I pray that You'll just help us to be faithful, serve You out of a heart of gratitude, love, and appreciation. Lord, we know that others will misinterpret it, but You never miss it. Help us to be faithful. And I'll thank You for it. Thank You for this church. Encourage their hearts tonight, Lord, for every one of them in their homes, on their jobs, in their personal lives, here at the church, in every way that they serve God. I pray that they'll just be faithful and keep wasting away till Jesus comes.